I come to you in the name of the loving, life-giving, liberating, holy mystery, the relationship of three in one, the one whom we call God. Please be seated. What do we usually say about these two major lessons from today? We usually say that they are stories about faith and hope, and that God, who is always speaking life through his servants, speaking even now. But as usual, Jesus interrupts the common pattern of God as recorded through the prophets of the Hebrew scriptures. You see, in the old pattern, God speaks to the prophet, who is an intermediary between God and the people of God. With Jesus, though, it's different. Jesus embodies God, and when Jesus speaks, it is God who speaks through Jesus as Jesus. I hear in both the prophet Ezekiel and the Gospel of John stories of God, who is life itself, bringing the dead to new life, whether in a valley of dry bones or a cave shut up for 4 days with a dead body in it. Death does not exist where God is. So the stories of the vision of Ezekiel and of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead are merely signs of what is to come. Both stories are preludes to the one big story of us, of you and me, as children of God and co-heirs with Christ in his sufferings and in his glory, according to Paul's letter to the Romans. The story of our new life centers around the first fruit of that life, Jesus. This means that he, as first fruits, is the initial harvest of God's glory, revealed with awe and wonder, because he is what it means and what it looks like to live consciously with the omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent mystery whom we call God. But there's a twist to the story. And the twist is that new life begins now. And it is always now if we can receive it. We're moving into the last week of Lent, and as we prepare for what comes next, as we celebrate and praise God, who is present and active in the lives of ordinary people, creating life in the midst of death, we're getting ready for the real good news. Good news because where there's life, there's always hope. I told the group this morning, the church this morning, I have seen life in places you would never believe. And a very good friend, a man who turned out to become a very good friend, living without a permanent address on the streets of Galveston, Texas, and yet so connected, so very much Jesus in the flesh. There's not one news item that doesn't scream out death and destruction in big ways and small. You can't turn on BBC or MSN or CNN or read The Sun or The Times without wondering, who doesn't want a new life? Who isn't looking for the peaceable kingdom, as Edward Hicks depicts time and time again in his paintings? Did y'all know he painted the peaceable kingdom 60 plus times in different versions? It was something in his heart. So let us consider the possibilities. What if this God, who is life itself, is already present and already united with us? And what if this life is waiting, unrealized, unknown, and unawakened within us? My sisters and brothers, I firmly believe that God wants us to not only wake up, but to step up into the kingdom that has been prepared for us since before time began. God wants us to understand that we are in process. That's why we are human beings. That we are evolving, and that how we show up now is only part of the story to who we truly are. There is more to each one of us than meets the eye. We think we're powerless against the forces of darkness, against dark principalities in high places, against those principalities even in our own homes, even in our own humanity, and we're not. God is already there in us. We are invited to change our thinking by understanding and awakening to the reality of Jesus. Because you see, Jesus is the second incarnation of God. All of creation, everything out here, without human beings in it, is the first incarnation of God. God manifesting. Think the Big Bang. And then think of the cosmos prior to human beings appearing on the earth between 300 and 100,000 years ago. Everything that is expressed as a conscious goodness of life. That's whom we're calling God. We got to get this anthropomorphic thing in our heads about who God is out of our heads. God is so much more. In fact, we are all incarnations of God. God is spirit. And just by virtue that we are created in the image and likeness of God means that we are incarnations of God. And yet, there is much dying to be done. You see, we must lose our grave clothes, the grave clothes of human conditioning, in order to awaken to our true nature. Most of us, moi included, have not only drank the Kool-Aid for centuries of human conditioning, we're swimming in it. We're full of fear and anxiety and hopelessness. And we don't have to live there. When Jesus tells Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life," it is human Jesus who has freely chosen to surrender his human will for the divine will, the I am of Exodus. When Moses says, "Who should I tell the people sent me to free them from captivity? What are you enslaved to? What possesses you? What keeps you from being free?" Moses said, "Who should I tell them, call me to go?" It said, "I am." Jesus' will or intention is one with the divine. That's the process that we are in. These words may be hard to digest, but y'all, we're dealing with wonder and mystery and awe. And if there's nothing else you can pray for right now in a world that's literally dying, it's to ask for some more wonder and to ask for some more awe and to ask for some mystery in your life and not be afraid of it. have to tell you, I was bored to tears. And then I said, show me your wonder. Show me. I'm just bored. Life is boring. Same thing over and over again. I want to see some of your awe. I want to see some of your wonder. And hallelujah. I don't think I'm supposed to say that yet. But anyway, God showed up. Whenever you ask sincerely, God always shows up. The wonder, the mystery, the awe, the love that transcends anything we can imagine. There is nothing left for us to do except to consider the possibilities. Now, y'all, believing in Jesus does not mean believing that this man lived 2,000 years ago and walked over there in the Middle East and blah, 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 blah. It means that we trust his character and nature, as shown in the Gospels, to be ours as well. Our true nature is of love. Our true nature is light. Why else would Jesus preach to people, not just the disciples? He preached to the whole countryside and he said, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. The light's already in us. We surrender our way of being human for Jesus' way of being human in every situation, circumstance, and person that we encounter. And sometimes we fail miserably. I often do on I-795. But we keep letting go. That's what Jesus meant by dying. We keep letting go of us and our stuff for something higher and something bigger and something better. Until we finally realize that it's in our bones, because it's already in our spiritual DNA, that God still loves us even when we fail. Our intentions to allow God to be God in us and for us is really all that matters. God is always with us. The question is, do we consciously choose to be with God? Do we consciously choose to be with the good? Do we consciously look for good, for the peace, for joy? It is with wonderful love and delight. And yes, God the Spirit says, God delights in us. God delights in you. How does that make you feel? God delights in you. And that's why God chooses to manifest and express itself through us. That's the revelation of God's glory and God's honor. So I'm going to pick on Ann Warfield over here. So Ann, when you are doing something just, you think it's normal. You're doing this good thing. You hadn't really thought about it, but it's the thing to do. You just go and do it. That's God in you, as you. It's as simple as that, with just the intention. And once it happens, you say, well, I want more of that, because you start to have peace. You start to feel joyful. You feel good. God delight. That's the delight of the Lord. It gives you courage and strength for the days when you don't have any. You say, how did I get the strength to get out of bed this morning? I've already made it through the day. That's God. Doesn't take any money at all. And we most often see it in those who have very, very little material stuff, that is. In the children's story, Are You My Mother? A mother bird, thinking her egg will stay in the nest while she goes off to leave for food, does just that. But while she's gone, the baby bird hatches. The hatchling does not understand where his mother is, so he goes to look for her. Y'all remember this story, right? While he can't fly yet, he walks, and in his search, he asks a kitten, a hen, and a dog if they're his mother. But none of them are. He keeps walking, but runs as he sees an old car because he knows that's not his mother. And in desperation, the hatchling calls out to a boat, an airplane. Finally, he approaches and climbs onto the teeth of a steam shovel, calling to it, "Mother, mother, here I am, mother." But the steam shovel starts to belch and snort from its exhaust stack, and it scares the little bird. The bird, thinking it's a snort, cries, "You're not my mother, you're a snort." This machine starts grinding into motion. He gets out and he starts to cry, "I want my mother," he sobs. And at that moment, the steam shovel drops the hatchling into his own little nest, and his mother returns. And the two are reunited, much to their delight. Think the delight of God. We're not baby birds, but we have not yet realized our true nature. Our true nature is of God, and it's like God. And to be truly human means to live fully from both our divine and human natures united as one. That's what our Lord Jesus was doing. We are inheritors of the fellowship of freedom, because God is free, and peace. God is peace without understanding, and joy, because God is always in delight, and righteousness, because God is in loving relationship with all that God's created, and love, because God seeks the highest good of all that God has created. God, our mother, who is always present to us. And as we come into this coming week, and we get ready for Holy Week, might I suggest just 5 minutes a day of listening in the silence? 5 minutes a day of listening to the silence. 5 minutes of listening with the silence. Maybe use Psalm 46:10 as a springboard. Be still and know. According to everything surrounding us, there is anxiety and fear and hatred and deceit. There is unfaithfulness and lack of love around every corner. So don't you think it's time for us to be intentional about the process of getting to know who we truly are? This is our only hope, that the risen Christ, who is life, becomes realized in us as our own consciousness and begins to act and live through us. When we choose to live without certitude and live by faith, always repenting, always turning again, turning from the old, turning to something new, turning from the old, turning to something unknown, turning from the old, turning to something unknown because we trust the love of God. When we do that, God prepares us inside to live more fully in the kingdom. May it be so by the grace of God. In the fellowship of our Lord Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.